Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. You heard Dave talking about St. Louis and the Bears in St. Louis today at noon. I'm kind of feeling maybe pretty good about this one. St. Louis is a tough team, but so many people I know, last night the Blackhawks beat the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis 4-2. And I know so many people who went down to St. Louis for the weekend to have kind of this hockey-football doubleheader, which, that maybe I should have taken the show on the road. Who knows? But let's go Bears. I want to mention, and we're going to talk about this as well later in the show, I want to mention this event at Aurora University, part of their Town Square series. I'll be moderating a panel with the authors of the book Fixing Illinois, Jim Nolan and J. Thomas Johnson. And those guys have been around, and they've come up with a number of ways that they see to kind of get Illinois moving again. I'm very anxious to talk to them in light of the fact that, you know, here we are still without a budget in the state of Illinois, still with some serious financial issues. So that's coming up on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Creamy Auditorium in the Institute for Collaboration at Aurora University. And you can find more about this. You can go to AU Arts and Ideas, AU Arts and Ideas, one word, .com, or you can call 630-844-4924. And as I said, we'll be talking to former House Republican leader Tom Cross about this event. Tom was one of the architects of putting this together, so I think it'll be well worth your time. Now, that's on the 19th, but on the 20th, the Chicago Latino Caucus Foundation is having its gala at the Field Museum at 6 o'clock. And joining me now on the phone is Chicago Alderman, 12th Ward Alderman, George Cardenas. Alderman, thank you for getting up with me this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for waking me up.
It's always good to be the alarm clock for other people, you know. But this gala, now granted, it is $1,000 a ticket, but it has a very laudable goal.
Well, you got to set high expectations. It is a laudable goal. I mean, we're talking about students. We're talking about children and the next generation of leaders, if you will. So we got to set the benchmark high for them, and for folks that they got to take it seriously to also give back and put a structure in place that these kids can then take advantage of, not just giving a scholarship, because I think some of that we're going to do that. But doing the mentoring and linking them up with the businesses that are going to, you know, be hiring them later on in the future, talking about advocacy and the things, issues that are germane to them. You know, it's something that we should have done years and years ago. But I think the Latino Caucus has the position, has the leverage, if you will, to sort of bring about something like this and make it really wonderful. You know, we're obviously in the business. We, according to the Sun Times, everybody else, we own the violence. We own everything else. Why not own something that is going to produce success stories, again and again? I think that to me, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, and you know, we always hear, and I'm not speaking critically of you, but we hear from every politician that education is our number one priority. And to put on this event with the goal of generating $500,000 for scholarships, it's nice to see, for a change, politicians putting, you know, words into action.
Exactly. I mean, you do have to sacrifice, you know. I mean, someone would say, well, how is it going to hurt your fundraising and your end? And sometimes you got to put that aside. And sometimes it may not. Who knows? Who cares? But let's do this because I think it's important. So I've set a lot of things aside for now and made it my goal. And I know the rest of the council has made it their goal. And everybody's pitching in. and they're doing a wonderful job of saying, oh, you know what, I know this guy, I know this person, they're coming in, they're, I invited them, they think it's a wonderful thing, and they're going to be there. And you know, the Field Museum is something special. This has to be special. They have to, we all have to own this as a community to do this, because I think it benefits all. One of the statistics that I was talking about to people is, look, Hispanics are now 46, pretty coming up fast at the 50% of the school district in the city. So these kids, the majority are going to be Hispanic. But the numbers are not telling when they graduate from high school and they graduate from college. The numbers are not there justifying that huge increase. And that does not bode well for, you know, for obviously not just the Latino or community, but also businesses. You know, you're seeing the city moving a lot of companies to bringing a lot of companies to the city and setting up the corporate headquarters and everything else. Well, where's the future for that? We need to line up those priorities and have these kids be able to attend college, understand the importance of joining, you know, society in this endeavor. And it benefits, believe me when I tell you, benefits everybody, because if we're seeing those numbers, and that means that they a lot more have to get to college graduation so they can join the workforce and so they get everybody benefit.
The one thing about and the college education, and yes, it's so important these days, particularly when you look at kind of the way that the job skill needs have changed into digital and technology, and, you know, can you write code? That's kind of the key word. But I'm also concerned about the affordability issue.
Well, I mean, certainly that's what we're fighting. It's to be able to give some of these folks and some of these kids, you know, something, access to something that's not affordable but doable. And again, and they can succeed. Not everybody's going to go to college, but we also got to create that environment for them to make that decision. A lot of them could become entrepreneurs, could become, good at computer science or coding, and they may decide to do something different. You know, I see a lot of people that started businesses that way. So let's create the foundation. Let's create the base. And this is why the foundation, it's really for that. It's a foundation for them to build and to link up with the outer world. And we want to be able to do that. We want to be that body that makes sure that, you know, it happens.
So for people who want more information about the gala, how do they learn more about this?
Well, they can certainly Google, and there's a Facebook page for the Gala Chicago Latino Caucus. They can do it that way. We set up a page also. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it, a link to it. You could do that. And you can also call the office this whole week. Call the office, call my office, any of the aldermanic offices. That people can easily Google too, and you know, I can certainly give my information out as well here. But the information is easily Googleable. It's on Facebook, and it's also on the web for be able to get the links and then be able to buy the individual tickets.
So look for Chicago Latino Caucus Foundation Gala. Alderman, stay right there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the city, and we'll talk about education and the Chicago Public Schools, as well as what's happening with the UNO schools. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. On this Sunday morning, I'm Rick Pearson, and this is the Sunday Spin. And joining me on the phone is 12th Ward Alderman George Cardenas. Alderman, I wanted to talk to you about this issue of the United Neighborhood Organization and the issue of six UNO-owned schools serving 4,000 students, perhaps facing bankruptcy. What's going on?
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate that they find themselves in this situation. If folks were tuned in for some of the news about a year and a half ago, UNO was ordered to separate their entities because of some of the stuff that had gone on and some of the management issues that were not done properly, some bidding and so on. So now they find themselves in this situation where one of the entities, which UCSN is called, which is the United Charter School Network, has really decided to in the plain hardball, in essence, and bring about probably the demise of the UN organization. There's no other way to say it, really. It's unfortunate that that has come to that, not by paying of the management fees and the arrangement that has been set forth by the judge that said about the separation. And I know some of us in the council have been really involved in getting them to the table so they can both do what they got to do and move on if that is the case. So, pay the bills, pay the organization so they can really survive. And then, if they change their mission, then they can do that. But certainly you got to be able to do that. I think it's just the right thing to do.
Well, and I know that there's these issues of a $2.2 million management fee balance that's owed, unpaid rent of more than $2.1 million. And then, of course, there's the loan issue to UNO of the $31 million used for completion of one of the campuses. Is it just a matter that neither side is I know that UNO maintains that UCSN is not talking, is not dealing. Are they talking?
Well, they've sat down obviously several times. They just haven't pulled the trigger. I think they made a payment when Jesse Ruiz was the interim CEO of the schools. He set them down, and obviously it's a payment made. And, this has become a lot of legalese because there's no other way to put it. The contract was not really clear on some of the issues, and I think they've taken advantage of it. But I think the leadership at UCSN maybe thought about this at the situation where the bankruptcy it could happen at any moment. They benefit from it. But I think the right thing to do from just, Hispanics, we talk about, uniting and doing the right thing. And they got to do the right thing and make sure that this UNO organization gets paid and continues some sort of the mission that they started, years and years ago. This organization has been around 30-something years, started with all the right reasons and can continue on its mission, providing some leadership. It's still a segment of what's called MLI, which is the leadership for professionals. I think it was done very well, and it's got some potential, but it's gonna have to it's gonna have to get some revenue, some quick infusion of funds right away from UCSN for them to move on and be successful. And I think the onus is on UCSN to make sure that this happens.
Do you think that bankruptcy is a real possibility here, or is it just part of the legal threat?
No, it's really, I think they're probably at the brink of that right now, simply because obviously, as without funds, you just can't operate, right? And their revenue was a management revenue that came from managing the charter school network and some other entities, but that also was taken away when UCSN separated. They had a JAMS contract of cleaning the schools, and that also was voided practically. So everything has been done to sort of clear for its demise. And it's unfortunate. I think the leadership at UCSN, they got to do this. I think otherwise they're going to create a big rift in the Latino community.
I want to switch over to Chicago Public Schools and also some of the city's budget needs. In recent weeks, we've heard Governor Rauner talk about what he believes will be some of the action that will ultimately lead to a state budget, and his belief that the needs of the city of Chicago will play a critical factor in leveraging Democrats that control the General Assembly into supporting what the governor calls his structural reforms. Critics would say that they're union weakening, pro-business reforms. But you have the money needs of the public schools. You have the issue of trying to change the ramp on police and fire pensions. Where do you see this leading to? Because certainly, you know, the mayor has said, you know, if you're looking at me to try to leverage union weakening reforms, you're looking at the wrong guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, that should not be the idea or the goal. I think goal should be to be clear about what has to happen. I mean, you can't tax yourself out of this pension mess. You just can't. I mean, we just did, you know, raised the property taxes in a historic high. And you can't do more. You can't put it all on the taxpayers, the pensions. And there's been problems been being sort of, you know, exacerbating every year after year. And what the courts have said that, you know, changing the benefits or trying to take away some of the benefits that have been already given, you can't take them away, but you can take you can change the plan. And certainly no one, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says you must do a defined benefit pension plan. So we can change the plan to make it a hybrid perhaps and change some of the stuff that it's causing this pension to accumulate. It's certainly the participation of pensioners and folks that are in the pension system, you know, must be part of the solution because, you know, take it as an example, yourself and everybody else that we talk to on the street, nobody has that type of setup where they pay very little into a very generous pension. It's just not sustainable. We looked at the numbers and, you know, you would have to increase taxes, you know, every year by an ungodly amount to be able to sustain that level of benefits payouts to pensioners, people who are in the pension system. I think somebody that retires when they're 55 in the city and draws a pension for till they're 85, I think we end up paying to 1.8, I think according to the numbers, 1.8, almost $2 million out for that particular person. There's 70-some thousand retirees right now, and there's 80,000 something employees in the sort of the countywide in the pension systems. So if you look at those numbers and you see how the one column here, it's the one that's increasing, and the column that's increasing is a column of retirees and folks that are not paying into the system, let alone, you know, anything else. So the takeout can't be one-sided. And has to change from, you know, not just on our end, but also in Springfield. It's really to make sure that the reforms, the structural reforms that they talk about, really look at the plans going forward. Even if you start now, you know, if you start now and say, look, if we start now, we can work ourselves out of it, but you got to start somewhere and follow the courts. As they say, you can't change the benefit. You can't change the contract in the middle of its duration, but you can certainly change the beginning, right? The start time. And I think some of that, whatever is legal, I think has to be put into the mix for this to succeed for everybody. I mean, I don't think you want the schools to go bankrupt, and I don't think folks, you know, should lose their pension. They have to be smart about it. So, you know, being anti-union, I think it's not. I think that's not the solution. I think the solution is putting it on the table and saying, look, this is a reality. This is what's coming in. This is what's being paid out. You know, something we got to do something. We can't put it all on the taxpayers. And I think it makes sense.
I want to thank you, Alderman, for joining me. 12th Ward Alderman George Cardenas. He is chairman of the Chicago Latino Caucus Foundation Board. And as we've been talking about, their big gala coming up on November 20th at 6:00 at the Field Museum. Thank you very much, Alderman.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Rick. And I hope people see you there on Friday. Bye.
We'll be back with more right after this.